I was just thinking about it, and you know, my son Connor in our ride home this afternoon was talking about how he actually wasn't bored during the service this morning, and I was excited for that. And I had an opportunity to be able to speak to him, and you know, he's easily distracted, and I was telling him, you know, this is something that we appreciate, you know, as children of God, to be able to come and to, you know, be in a service and to be able to rest and to be at peace and to be able to see what the Lord brings for the day, for the hour. And it's something that we all take in a manner that is reverent towards Him. And it's a good thing that He actually appreciated the service this day. And so I was thankful to be able to hear that. And one of the things I know is that I do appreciate our brother here and the work that the Lord has him doing in his life, and not so much what he has him doing, but how he goes about doing it. I always appreciate that with our brother Andy, because to me, he's one of the most down-to-earth people that I know, and he'll tell me like it is, and he'll tell us like it is. And I look up to that, and I appreciate the efforts he puts towards being a light for God and to be able to be engaged with the youth even to this day in his life, and being able to go to camp with him and seeing that that excitement that he has and when he's working for the Lord, especially when it comes to the young people. So he's been an inspiration to me, and I know he's been an inspiration to all of you and all of you that are watching. We see him, and we sometimes don't, because we know he's about doing the Lord's work throughout the country. And I'm thankful for that, that he's capable of doing that and bringing that light to others. And so I would ask this night, after all these words that I expressed, that you give him that short amount of time, that hour, to be able to focus on the message that the Lord has placed on his heart. And so with that, I'll give you our elder and brother Andy Brown.
Thank you, Brother Gary. See what's up here on this screen. I think today's the 12th of December, isn't it? You know, I couldn't help but think while I was sitting here of some of these young men sitting in the front row and different ages throughout the room for that matter. Good to see our brother Isaac here tonight. Dan, Diane, appreciate that. This last week or two, I've been trying to get all my year-end stuff wrapped up at work, and part of that is doing reviews for the people who report to me. And I have five management people that report to me, I think, and then also field labor that I wanted to do a review for. Sometimes they get left out. And one of them asked me, hey, who is someone going to do our reviews? And I was like, I don't know. You know, let me check on it, because usually a general superintendent that travels all the jobs does the field guys' reviews. I call him up, and I'm like, hey, are you going to do these guys' reviews? And he's like, nope, you are. I was like, oh, okay, thanks for telling me. So anyway, I did those. What I was thinking is, you know, every one of those guys that come through my office, I have an older gentleman that works for me, been with our company for 21 years, Hispanic, hardest working guy you ever find in your life. If he doesn't work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, he's not happy. And then he gets side jobs to do on the weekend. Just unbelievable. And, you know, and his name's Tomas. I'm like, Tomas, when are you going to retire? Well, maybe one more year, senor. And I'm like, okay, you can work as long as you want for me. And, but I don't really ask him the same questions I might ask a young guy. I got a young man who just moved down here from Wisconsin. I don't know, 24, 25 years old, young family. I'm like, Levi, where do you see yourself in a year, in 5 years? I don't know. You know, and I guess it's a good time for me to reflect on my own self. And that is, you know, what am I doing today that's going to better prepare me for what the Lord would have me to do tomorrow? If we don't have some vision of of what we can do, and I've said it before here over this pulpit, you know, we have a measured amount of time. We have a measured amount of time. Some of us is 50 years. Some of us less. Some of us, you know, heard Brother Hubert's 88 years old yesterday. Good long life. Probably has several years left, you know. But we have a measured amount of time. The scriptures tells us it's given the man a certain amount of time. I remember our brother Chuck Pender, he and I used to talk sometimes. And of course, he talked up here and I talked down here. But he told me in DNA research he had done, that was really programmed in your DNA. If you get hit by a train, the day of your death was in your DNA, the day you were born. You know, and I thought in my mind, that's really scriptural. That's really the Lord has a plan for your life right up front. And the question is for you and I, and I'll continue to ask this, and believe it or not, this really isn't the focus of my sermon. This is a sideline. Is that are we working, are we operating to our full potential every day of our life? The talents that God has given me, you know, you might have noticed over the years, I don't get up and sing too many specials. That's not a talent the Lord has given me. I enjoy singing, but no one else enjoys me singing. So, I know the Lord don't mind it, but this is just not one of my talents. You know, I find a lot of things when it comes to doing physical things comes easy for me. But that's not the case for everybody. So the question is, are you finding your talents, your knowledge, your abilities, and are you just going full bore ahead? Or are we just lingering in the land of mediocrity? Are we satisfied? And I'm fearful to say that I really feel like our nation, that's kind of where we're at right now. This, you know, I got guys, a young lady I mentioned to her, she's in my office on the West Valley job I have, and said something about she had a PTO day, and I was like, yeah, I got some of those I probably need to take. Well, I'm not letting the company get any of my money. And I thought, you view the company totally different than I do. This particular company I work for thinks up ways of helping me, thinks up ways of adding another benefit on the pile, you know. Add another couple percent to this and a couple percent to that dollar-wise. You know, they're just a really good company. But yet, her vision was, I'm not going to lose one PTO day to the company. And it's just it's how you view it. Where are you viewing your life? And my testimony this morning kind of goes into my sermon tonight. This is the day of the Lord, which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Are we? Is that something that you think about? You know, we just had a reunion and it had a topic, what's it called? A theme. Anybody remember what the theme was? Somebody help me out. Joy. Joy. I got to be honest with you. There are some days I don't come in here and feel a lot of joy. And I'm telling you that if anybody on the planet has a reason to be joyful, it's you and I. We have a knowledge of the fullness of the gospel of Christ. We have an assurity that God is not dead. He lives and is willing to intervene in your life. Wouldn't that make you joyful? It makes me joyful. I have thrown some pictures in here tonight, all of which I've snapped somewhere alongside the road with my camera, with my cell phone. So if they're not too good of pictures, please, I'm not a photographer, so you guys out there that are photographers, try not to critique me too hard. But I'm here to tell you, I see God's glory everywhere I look. Sometimes I drag myself out of bed in the middle of the night, drag myself to my job site at 1 o'clock in the morning, midnight, which is we're going to pour concrete. And we pour concrete typically about 2 o'clock. But we got to open the site up and set up a pump and set up lights and all that good stuff. And not exactly the time of night I'm looking for God's glory or joy or any of those things, is it? But I if I open my eyes, I see it. It's there. In the moon, in the stars, in the peaceful night, in the cool air, I see it. Here in Philippians, second chapter, verse 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. There's a key to happiness. We talked on the reunion about happiness and joy and the difference of the two. There's a difference by far. There's a lot of things that I find happiness in. I like going to Manuel's. That makes me happy. Has nothing to do with my joy, though. Nothing. Yesterday, I got up early in the morning, drove to the mountains, as I like to do, with my son and Brother Joel, and met a couple of our brothers up there who are hunting, and it was cold. It was in the 30s. For us guys that live in the desert, that's a little chilly. And so, in normal fashion of our hunting experience, off we march into the brush pile. Right up tight against the rim, the landscape's pretty steep. And wasn't very long. I had my insulated pants on and my jacket on and an extra shirt on. And whew, pretty soon I'm sweating. I'm hot, you know. And I start taking off clothes and keep on hiking. And we decided it would be a good idea to just go ahead and get off the trail and just act like a mountain goat in the brush. And so that's what we did for a while and got up to this spot. We could really see a long ways. And I like setting up my binoculars and glassing. And the wind was blowing probably 25, 30 miles an hour at 30-some degrees outside there. It was a little chilly. And but even in that condition, man, am I joyful. I find happiness. I find joy in that. Just looking out vista upon vista of mountains. And knowing that the fact that they're there, I have nothing to do with. I can't influence that at all. It's only by the hand of God. My point in telling you that little story is God's hand is around us. It's upon us. It's in our life. If we'll open our eyes. If we desire in our heart to see it. Do we have difficulties? Sure we do. We have aches and pains every day of my life. Doesn't matter. We can see and be a partaker of God's experience for us if we open our eyes. We're going to continue reading here in Philippians. Verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the thing of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who began in the form of God through no robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. There's a key that each of us can find in our life when it comes to being joyful, when it comes to being happy, and it comes to being a servant of other people. When we can truly serve with a desire for nothing in return, when we seek to help those around us, we find joy. We're rewarded. Even though we're helping someone else, we're rewarded. I can't tell you how many times I've had the opportunity to go somewhere with one of our brothers who travel on the missionary field, and they get back and think, man, that was awesome. I don't know if I was any good to anybody else, but I was the recipient of the blessing. I was the recipient of a better perspective for my own life by being willing to go do something. Philippians, continuing in the same chapter, verse 8, and being found in the flesh as a man, he, we're talking about Christ, of course, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to mention this word several times this evening, and I hope that as you see some of the pictures, and just this is my way of thinking. This, you may have to strain a little bit to get inside my head. There's a lot of cobwebs in there. Is that this is to the glory of God. The things we do every day of the week should be to the glory of God. Not to the vanity of man, but to the glory of God. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is something I hope you grab a hold of this evening, and that is, you have the opportunity, unlike some of the guys you work with, maybe go to school with, you have the opportunity to be renewed day by day. Day by day. I'm here to tell you, I'm not as young as I used to be. I don't look at myself as being old until I look in the mirror, of course. But there's times I get home, most nights lately, because my days are full. I eat my dinner 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. I shove my chair back from the table. First thing you know, I'm sitting there at the table dozing off. I'm done. I'm whooped. Okay. And I think, man, I don't know if I can get up again tomorrow and do this over again. But guess what? Alarm clock goes off the next morning and my feet hit the floor and we're ready to roll. A little bit of sleep renews us. And spiritually, emotionally, mentally, the Spirit of God can renew us. Can renew us. When we're down in the dumps, we're in the battle, we're getting whooped, just getting ran over, the Spirit of God can renew us. We just have to recognize where that's at. There's nights I go in there and lay down in bed and stretch out, and I'm like, wow, what took me so long to get here? It just feels so good to just stretch out and just relax. And I'm fearful that this is the way we are spiritually. That once we come in contact with that power, that source of the universe, God Almighty, and He renews us, I say, wow, what took so long for me to do this? What took so long for me to humble myself, to call upon His name? We can be renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more excellent eternal weight of glory. If we can just remember that whatever affliction we have in this life is just exactly that. It's a light affliction. And it works a good work in us. I know sometimes we say, why? You know, why is my back bothering me all the time? Why is my eyesight going bad? Why? Whatever. And I know that's a human thing to say. But if we can give glory to God and tell Him, work your work. Get it done. Make me who you want me to be. You know, far more excellent and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Are we looking at eternal? Or can we only see the physical? Can we only see till I got enough dime stacked up to buy the next thing I want? The next new car, the next new house. You know, whatever it is, next new pair of shoes, I don't know. Those are physical. Let our eye be upon those things which are eternal. I find for myself that when I truly do that, the things I'd like to have physically, they just show up at the door. Somehow, some way, that blessing, as long as it's not detrimental to me, that blessing just happens. Hey, I got such and such, you want it? I stumble into a dream deal of a lifetime on something I wanted. I didn't need it. I wanted it. But the Lord wants us to get our perspective in order first and our focus upon those things which are eternal. It says, but, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, but we have this treasure in an earthly vessel. What's that talking about? Can somebody help me out? Jesse, what's that talking about? What's our earthly vessel? Yeah, this hunk of clay right here. Got a lot of problems. Going to deteriorate. Just like an old jar, you know. When I'm walking through the woods a lot of times, I'm looking at the ground. Gracie and I, we like to find rocks and put them in my polisher and polish them up, and then it's a treasure. You know, you open that thing up after that rock sat in there for a week or 2 weeks and see what it looks like. It's kind of cool. So a lot of times when I'm out walking in the woods, I'm looking at the ground for pretty rocks. I'm also looking for pottery. I don't pick it up anymore because I just don't need more junk at the house. But I like to find it, you know, and look at it. That's an earthly vessel. Somebody 100, 500 years ago got their water in or their food in, and it's gone the way of the earth, back to the sand it was made out of, you know. And so will this earthly vessel go that way. But here the Apostle Paul is saying, we have in this earthly vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have an opportunity, kind of like my testimony this morning. You know, I walk out of some meetings I go to and somebody says, oh man, you did such a great job, blah, 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 blah. And I walk out of there going, that was not me. I'm just an old country boy. I couldn't hardly read. Still struggle. You know, doing a job that's far above my abilities. Because this earthly vessel has the opportunity with the Spirit and power of God to be much more than we are. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. We can step out and above our own nature. That natural man which is an enemy to God. And we can find ourselves serving the Lord and serving those around us. We are troubled on every side. Some of us probably feel that way. We're troubled on every side. Personally, I don't. But there are plenty of troubles out there to go around. Yet not distressed. Are you distressed? And I feel like the Apostle Paul could have been talking to you and I tonight if he was standing here. Are you distressed? Because he says, though you're troubled, you're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Are you in despair? If you are, you need to reevaluate your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the power And the ability to overcome yourself is extended to you. Will you take it? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's who we are. No one promised us that everything was going to be perfect once we desired to follow the Lord. That we'd never have any distress. We'd never be cast down. We'd never be persecuted. It all comes with it. But there's a way of escape which is offered to us on a daily basis if we're willing to accept it. I love the sunrise and I love the sunset. And I see it every day. This is here was sunrise out here just right by our houses here. This is beautiful. And if we can't look at that and say, you know, glory to God, how's it look on that? Look all right? Yeah. Afraid it'd be all washed out. You know, if we can't look at that and say, you know, glory to God. I might have troubles in my life, but glory to God. This was interesting looking. Same thing. I love, that's right out here again. I love seeing the sunrise and the sunset, the colors. You know, my family and I, we went up to Greer here a few weeks ago. It was a little chilly up there. Got up in the morning, a little rain going on. Thought I'd take a little hike through the woods. As I walked down kind of the length of that little valley that Greer's in, the rain would come, this light mist, and then it'd go. And as I looked, the sun was in the east, and I'm on the east side of the valley, so I'm looking across the valley that way. There's a rainbow with the end of it right there in the creek. Go a little bit, oh, there's a rainbow over there. And the clouds would come, a little rain come, sun would peek through, oh, there's a rainbow. 3 or 4 times in that little hour and a half walk I took. You know? And if you can't look at that and say God's hand is evident, like you said earlier, that's in my mind. Okay, that's how I think. You may not think that way, but I just want us to be able to open our eyes. I look at these little guys that sit in front of me back here and all these young men and young women who call me Papa. I glory in God that those guys are in my life. Adds a dimension in my life of beauty, of innocence, of love. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, and he saith unto them, but whom say that I am? Of course, we're very familiar with this verse of Scripture. And he had asked his disciples, who do people say I am? And he said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, a prophet. He said, okay, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Was Simon different than you and I? I don't think so. He was born, lived, felt pain, struggled, wrestled with a lack of faith, wrestled with fear. But nevertheless, could hear by the Spirit of God Almighty, thou art the Christ. And you know, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto you. We have an opportunity to have the Spirit of God direct our life, to empower our life, to uplift us, to encourage us. We don't have to live in the valley of despair. There's no reason to. And if you are, you need to reevaluate. You need to reset. You need to go to that Bible and that Book of Mormon and open it up and take a look. Because it's in there. It's in there. Yet another sunrise, that house is over there across Union Hills. I walked out to Union Hills so I'd get a little better picture. It's gorgeous. Sunrise in the morning. I thank God for that. I got too many pictures and not enough slides. I got 28 slides as it is. Do we stop and look? The flower, little bougainvillea there on top. You know, the leaves changing. That's up Walnut at the ranch. Of course, the bottom left-hand corner. Is it backwards over there? Yeah, bottom right-hand corner. The Grand Canyon, obviously. I love to fly over the Grand Canyon. I love to hike in the Grand Canyon. I could go up there and talk to the game ranger and he'd tell me, yeah, it took 50 billion years for the water to carve that out. I don't have the heart to tell him he's crazy. Full baloney. Took about 3 hours. You know, by the gift and power of God, the face of the planet can change in a moment. This last picture there, it looks like to me it's Adams. It's either Mount Adams or Hood, but it looks like Adams to me. The last couple of times I've flown up there, the clouds have been gorgeous. The beautiful mountains have been sticking out. It's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Snow. And it just speaks to me volumes. Gives me perspective. I'm an ant on the face of the planet. I'm tiny. I'm insignificant. But the really neat thing is that God knows exactly where I'm at. I can't hide from Him. He can draw me out of an airplane, any place on the planet. And He knows exactly where I'm at and what I'm up to. His power and majesty and glory is beyond our comprehension. Are you receiving that? Are you living in joy? Are you magnifying His name? Or are you focused on yourself or on your conditions? Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. My throat is dry as a... says, and an angel stood, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their face and worship God. This is who, this, I can't even focus on this. I can't even imagine this. Saying amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. So many times I'm fearful that we are, this is so far from our way of thinking on a daily basis. You know, we're focused on the fact, gee, my back hurts. Man, I'm having a hard time. I can't pay my bills. I can't do what I need to do or want to do. Thank you there, young fella. Appreciate it. The other day, it's funny, the other day I was talking to my crew in the morning and I got one of those horns. What's it called? It's like a megaphone or whatever it is. It's got a little thing, you hit the button and make the siren go. Woo, woo, woo. But anyway, we talk on it. I got 150, 160 guys standing out there and my voice does this. I got this Native American crew of iron workers and the foreman for that crew is named Jesse. And a big guy, you know, he yells out, "Hey, use your man voice." And I said, "I am." It's just not as manly as it used to be. I hope that you and I are thinking about these things. That the perspective is eternal. Not the little trouble that's in front of you. You know, Adam and Rebecca, they've been through a pretty good trouble the last couple years. It's a speck on the timeline of eternity. A speck. Tough when you're there. Real tough. But in comparison to all the blessings of their life and all the blessings that yet remain. And the day that you'll stand before the throne of God Almighty. It's a burp. It's nothing. Here, a few months ago, we set the last beam in our building out there. About 45,000 beams we put in there. 4,500 beams we put in there. And these two gentlemen were standing up there getting ready to land the last beam. We had painted it white because a lot of people wanted to sign the beam, you know. And of course, we're on the Indian community out here. And so the president and vice president and council members, all those guys from the community came out there and signed the beam. And my ironworkers put the flag on it and flew it up there. And there stands a guy up there like he was a pigeon, you know. And I'm so thankful that it probably doesn't mean as much to you guys as it does me. But I walk my project, and there's an opportunity for disaster everywhere I look. I know Jared's been on these larger sites, and Gordon's been on some of these larger sites. I mean, there's just an opportunity for someone to fall or stab themselves or cut themselves or just do something stupid, turn over a crane. I probably had 25 cranes on the site in the last year. And for all that to happen, and like I mentioned earlier, we had a guy cut the end of his finger off here a couple weeks ago, and it wasn't even that bad. And of course, I didn't think so. I didn't get the end of my finger cut off, though. But just for all that work and all those guys, I give God the glory. It's just almost impossible. You know, these bigger jobs like Palo Verde nuclear plant, and these big bridge jobs and these big dam jobs, they estimate how many men will be killed on it before they ever stick the first shovel in the ground. They have an idea that this job is going to cost four guys their life or five guys their life. And there'll be X number of men who get injured by lost time injury, you know. And I'm just so thankful. And I hope as time goes by that I can continue to have that little voice when someone says, "Hey, how come you have a job site that big and no one gets hurt on it? We got these job sites over here and guys get hurt all the time." They'll have the courage and the opportunity to say, "Because God intervenes in my job site. I'm not watching it. He is." So, I thought this was kind of a cool picture. Again, do we see the blessing of the nation we live in? What a blessing that we have. You know, I talked to Andrew on and off. He's been in Lebanon several months now. And jumped from there to two or three other countries and back to Lebanon. And there's unrest. There's no real justice, fairness, and equality has nothing to do with daily life. Difficulty and distress, corruption. And here we are, hanging out in good old America. Have our own struggles, no doubt about it. Not necessarily feeling like we're headed in the right direction all the time. But what a blessing to grow up in a place like this. What a blessing. And all we have to do is open our scripture, and we know, we're told, this would be the promised land. Do you and I live daily like we're living in the promised land? And we take that for granted. We give God the glory. We give God the glory. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel, fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to be preached unto those that dwell upon the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. This verse, you and I know. Why? Let's talk about the restoration of the gospel. You and I are a recipient. An angel flew and handed that to us and said, here you go. You have the fullness of the gospel. In the seventh verse, it says, and saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. Is that you and I? Do we fear God and give glory to him? Do we act like we have the restored gospel in our possession? Are we good caretakers of it every day of our life? Or is it just taken for granted? Five young men here went out with me a few weeks ago. Well, I was going to tell you, all these pictures have been this year. All these pictures have been this year. All these pictures have been while this COVID baloney has been going on. You know, we're cooped up in our houses and can't do whatever we want to do. These young men, somehow they were hanging out in my house. Said, hey, you guys want to go do something? So we ran up here in the desert to a little stream, water. Of course, young men and water go together well, especially when there's crawdads in there. And so the hunt was on. We're chasing down crawdads and had little sticks, and they were poking the vegetation out. Would come the crawdad, and somebody would squall, and somebody else would grab it. And we had a grand time. It was great. I loved it. I don't know if they had more fun or I did. Hi, Easton. Did you enjoy that? Yeah. It was fun. It was fun. It adds another dimension of joy to my life. A gift of God. We give God the glory. Earlier this year, I ventured again through the Northwest to attend a wedding in the middle of a hayfield. And the groom went in the mountains and he cut these chunks of wood and built this little thing there. With a big gross on it and stuff. Of course, a guy loving wood like I do. I really like that. That was a first plus right there. And again, you know, these folks decided that whatever difficulty was being handed to them at this time in their life, it didn't matter. We're moving on. We're getting on with life. And they were married there in that hayfield, fed people dinner, kind of an open area barn type thing. What a beautiful thing. A very beautiful thing. Again, an opportunity that the Lord gives us to glory in him and in his people. 25 years ago, 20 years ago, I didn't know any of these people. This little gal here that got married there, you know, she was probably wasn't even barely born when I first went up there to the Yakima Valley. And I've enjoyed watching a whole generation grow up, watching them get married, and now watching them have children and venture out in their own life. What a beautiful thing. What a greater dimension to my life. Because I had opportunity through the gospel to enjoy yet another group of people in another place. Another sunrise or sunset there. I don't remember which one that was in the pine trees. Another really cool picture of the mountains up there in the Northwest. Beautiful. And I see God's hand in all these things. And I desire this night to give him the glory in my life for the beautiful and wonderful blessings he's given me. Third book of Nephi, chapter 8, verse 18. It says, and no tongue could speak. And this is when Christ was on this land and he had knelt and prayed with the people here. It says, no tongue could speak, neither could there be written by any man, neither could the heart of man conceive so great and marvelous things. We both saw and heard Jesus speak. Just couldn't comprehend the magnitude of the beauty and the glory in it. And no one could conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. This degree, this magnitude of joy should, could, can be near my heart in our lives today. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spoke unto them and bade them to arise. And they arose from the earth. And he saith unto them, blessed are ye because of your faith. And now my joy is full. This was Christ. Christ spoke. Now my joy is full. I hope that you and I have a dimension of joy in our life that we have a hard time explaining to people. It's that great. It's that overwhelming that we engage with life. We're not just spectators. You know, years ago, Brian offered me to go to Kenya and Tanzania with him, and I went over there. Of course, I love it. Adventure is a great thing for me. And we go through little village after little village. A little town, main part of town, there's buildings built, you know, pretty much out to the road. Little porch about that wide on it. And half a dozen guys sitting out there, dressed pretty nice, talking. We go have services somewhere. 2, 3, 4 hours later, we come back by, still there. Still hanging out there talking. I'm like, Brian, what are these guys doing? None. So I kind of coined a little phrase every time we see them. They're just hanging out, waiting to die. Just hanging out. They're just letting life pass them by. And you and I can be guilty of the same thing. If we're spending our time and our energy and our effort on nothing that adds value to the lives of those around us. We're just hanging out, watching mindless garbage on the TV or on a YouTube channel. Not educating ourselves to make ourselves a better person. Not educating ourselves in God's Word. Not learning something that's going to help us better provide for our family. Not learning a skill or a trade that we can help somebody with. We're just hanging out. Just hanging out, twiddling our thumbs, waiting to die. That's not what we're here for. God expects us to be productive. Physically, mentally, and spiritually productive. He didn't deliver by the hand of an angel the restored gospel to you and I so it can collect dust on a shelf. We can sit on the front porch, watch the grass grow. That's not what we're here for. Not what we're here for. I was talking to someone the other day, and what we were doing, they weren't real happy with, and they said, I was enjoying it, but it was like, I'd rather be at a resort. I thought about that for a second, and I thought, I don't know what to do with a resort. I've never been to a resort. I might like it. I don't know. I don't think so, but I might. I said, what do you do at a resort? Well, you hang out by the pool. Why would I do that? I don't understand. This American attitude, desire for leisure. There's nothing wrong with resting. There's nothing wrong with having a barbecue with your friends. But this just focus of hanging out waiting to die. You and I need to be about influence and outcome. These young men, young women, think back us old geezers. When I was a teenager, it was a little bit different, but it's really still just the same. You know, one day you wake up and realize there's girls. You wake up and there's a whole big world out there, especially living in Payson, Arizona. There's all kinds of stuff out there that looks pretty intriguing. There's unknown amount of things that a guy could be doing if he only had the money and the ability, you know, as a teenager. Some of which are good and some of which are probably not very good. But I can look back through my life and there's a half a dozen individuals who influenced the outcome. Who's there at the right time? Who said the right thing? Who took me on a trip? One time I was at my house and there was something going on at the ranch, a little camp out or something. It was before the days of Camp for All Ages. And I remember Bill and Karen came by. They had a van and gave me a ride up there. I didn't even hardly know Bill and Karen. Just two people from Phoenix, the big city. And they had a van, the looks of like I'd never really seen before. You know, I had carpet on the inside and everything. And that was very nice. But at a pivotal time in my life, I was a teenager, probably wasn't old enough to drive yet, that just something simple made a difference. It made a difference. So the question is for you and I, whether it's one of these young people here or someone else we know in our life, are our eyes open? Is it the desire of our heart to influence the outcome of someone's life? To let a little bit of light, which is granted by Christ, from us to them? I hope so. After this very joyful experience that the Nephites experienced there, it said, you know, that the Lord wept. I mean, that's how deep, that's how meaningful that experience was. It was driven out of joy. It was driven out of honesty and purity. Hopefully I won't embarrass my wife with this next slide. This is what she normally does on the airplane, sleeps. We are on a trip somewhere, I think going to the Northwest this last year. And of course, the other two pictures is my son doing what he does best. You know, runs around and explores. And we're at a beautiful place in the bottom of a canyon called Blue Ridge Reservoir. We were in search of leaves changing colors because we like that. And the people that the Lord's put in our life, huge difference, huge difference. Yeah, I didn't really want to go up north yesterday. I had other things I wanted to do. But Nay was like, come on, Dad, you need to go up there. You know the area. You'll have a good time once you get there, blah, blah, blah. So I drug out of bed at 3:30 in the morning and away we went, you know. And Nay was right, of course. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the opportunity to get to know Brandon a little bit better. Of course, I always enjoy Aaron. The last time Aaron was in that area, he and I were hunting there. It's been years and years ago. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. This is a picture of, I think someone wrote someone else a love letter. And it's been there for a few hundred years. I drive by this fairly often, actually. And have for years. And this last summer, my wife had bugged me for several years about going up there and visiting it. And I didn't want her to because I was afraid she'd kill herself climbing up there. And because it's not real bad, but it's rocky and steep. And so anyway, I said, well, we're not getting any younger. You better do it. And so we did. And I took this picture this last summer up there when we were there. And the cool thing is, now every time I drive by there, I'll remember that she and I was able to go visit that. And again, it's about seeing the blessing of a spouse of 34 years, of children, of grandchildren, of brothers and sisters. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation of our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and behold, the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen." I hope we have this viewpoint, this focus. This is a hobby I have. Most of you know that. It's in a beautiful place. And I've told you before, I enjoy cutting these logs open. My sons have a name for it. An elaborate way of cutting firewood. Because a lot of it ends up as firewood. And I don't really do anything with it, you know. That's why it's a hobby. But I see, again, the hand of God in the beautiful grains of wood that no man's seen before. And I love it. These four pictures are different pictures on my site. The one in the top right-hand side, I guess, if you're looking at left-hand side, there's a forklift up there in the corner. There's a concrete pump. But just this side of them is a big scaffolding sitting out there on that roof. And there's guys out there on that scaffolding. I don't know if you can see them or not. You know, and this is the kind of thing that is just an opportunity for disaster. But I thank God that that disaster doesn't come. The other one at the top, we started another building over on the west side. And here we go again. Another crane, more beams, more picks. I evaluate the crane plans before they're approved. I send with my crane guy in Salt Lake City. The distance the crane leans out can make the difference between tipping it over. The load, the weight could be the same. You just set that column right there, you can set the next column. Human error. The difference between that thing tipping over and killing somebody or not. And I don't care how careful you are, how good you are, how many computers that crane has in it. All you have to do is look at the news and look at reports from safety incidents and construction. Somehow they tip them over all the time. You know, the bottom two pictures are concrete pours, obviously at night. You got 30, 40 guys running around in rebar, gas-powered equipment, a concrete pump that's pumping that concrete out of there at a pretty good rate, all in the dark. I mean, we've got lights set up, but with lights, you know, they're either in your eyes or you're in the shadow. And big equipment, sometimes we'll have 30, 40 concrete trucks come in a pour into the site, over, wash out of the site. And yet, pour after pour, no problem. And I'm so thankful for that because I know it's the hand of God. Sorry, I'm running over a little bit. Psalms 118:22. It says, "The stone which the builders refused because become the stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing." Of course, that's Christ. "It is marvelous in our eyes." Is it? Is the advent of Christ, is the idea of having Christ in your life, is that marvelous in your eyes? I hope it is. I hope it is. 118. verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that throughout the course of this sermon this evening, that you start getting a feel that God's glory is around us. His mercy, His power, His might. His promises is unto His children without fail. You and I will fail, but He's without fail. You and I will stumble, but He's there to pick us up. In our time of weakness, He empowers us, strengthens us, renews us day by day. And I just desire so much that we as a people, that myself as an individual out there in the heat of battle on a daily basis, can be seen with the joy and the gladness which comes only in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you.